Jesus Plus Nothing, 100% natural, no additives. Andrew Farley celebrating your freedom in Christ. Call in and ask your questions at 877-655-6755. That's toll free at 877-655-6755. Via satellite from Texas, it's Andrew Farley Live.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Andrew Farley Live. This is Andrew. We are live for the next half hour, taking your calls across the United States and Canada. That number, 877-655-6755. We've got wide open lines here at the top of the hour, and that means plenty of room for you to get in with your question tonight. If you've got a question about a scripture passage, or maybe you heard something in church last weekend, or in a Bible study, or chatting with a friend, and, well, you're still scratching your head wondering about it, then let's make it a conversation together right now. 877-655-6755. And if you're a first-time caller tonight, please know we love to hear from our first-time callers. We'd love to hear from you. And if you're a veteran listener, maybe you've called in the past, but you've got something new on your mind tonight, by all means, join us as well. Again, that number, 877-655-6755, and that's toll-free across the United States and Canada right now. Well, folks are joining us from all over North America and beyond for the Hurt and the Healer Conference. It's coming up March 21 in Dallas, Texas, and you can be a part of this first ever event, the Hurt and the Healer Conference, happening at the Aloft Hotel and Conference Center right next to Love Field Airport in Dallas, Texas, on March 21. And we would love to see you there. You can find out more on our homepage at andrewfarley.org. It's right there as a banner, a conference banner you can click on right there at andrewfarley.org. So check it out. Get in on this early bird rate, and we are literally right next to Love Field Airport with this conference. It's happening in the Aloft Hotel and Conference Center. You can take a shuttle from the airport. You don't need to rent a car, and it is just so convenient, and we're having folks from all over North America fly in to be a part of this, and it's going to be a time where we really dig in to the love and grace of God. What does it mean to be a totally forgiven person, past, present, future? What does it mean to have a new identity in Christ? How do we learn to walk by the Spirit? What did Jesus mean when he said, "My yoke is easy, my burden is light, and you'll find rest for your soul"? Is that real? Well, how do we enjoy that? And how is it that Jesus is really the healer of our hurts, the comforter, the Holy Spirit? He's known as the counselor, the helper, the comforter. So how does that actually happen? There are just some of the things that we're going to be talking about at the Hurt and the Healer Conference, March 21 in Dallas, Texas. Go to our website for more at andrewfarley.org. All right, let's go out to Peter, listening in Phoenix, Arizona. Hi, Peter. You're on the air. What's your concern tonight, my friend?
Well, hi. Good evening. I've been told, I'm a born-again Christian, that we all have guardian angels, and they protect us. If so, is that true? What do they do, and what is their responsibility to the Christians?
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, it's very interesting that we're talking about guardian angels for each and every person, and you know, when you look in the scriptures, there's some passages you can consider. Matthew 18 is one of the biggies. Jesus is saying, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones," talking about children, "for I tell you that their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." And so you look at the context of this, and it's either applying literally to little kids, or it could be applying to little children in the faith, people who believe in the gospel and become God's children. That would be all of us who are in Christ. So this is probably the number one go-to passage concerning the idea, the possibility of guardian angels. But you look at it a little bit closer, verse 10, it simply says, "See to it that you do not look down on one of these little ones. I tell you, their angels in heaven always see the face of my Father in heaven." So I think what the point Jesus is making is, don't look down on other people. Don't look down on children. Children are important to the Lord. There are hosts of angels that are sent out for important reasons, including children. I don't think it means exclusively children. I also don't think that there has to be a one-to-one relationship, that every single child of God has a particular angel that is looking after them. Let's think about our spiritual protection for a minute. I mean, the Bible in the New Testament, it tells us that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit, that we're raised and seated in heavenly places, that it's us in Christ and Christ in us, that we're one spirit with the Lord. At one point, we're told that we're hidden with Christ in God. And see, to me, those are the core reasons that I have the privilege of feeling safe and secure with the Lord. Not because of angels, but because of who I am in Christ, and who you are in Jesus Christ can be the primary reason that we feel protected, safe, secure. We're sealed in the Holy Spirit. We're one with Him. He is our guard and our keeper and our protector and our comforter and our counselor. So I would put my stock there. I would put my confidence in those truths. And then the idea of angels, guardian angels, a one-to-one relationship with children or adults or spiritual children, the children of God, you know, that's an interesting topic. But there's not enough to collect in the New Testament that would cause us to just be certain about how all of that works. There's definitely, throughout the Bible, there is completely a clear picture that angels have protected people. I mean, you look at Daniel, you look at the idea that Daniel was protected by angels. You look at angels as messengers. That's one of the things they do. They reveal important aspects of the gospel story. They are guides. They provide for people. Back in Genesis, in the 21st chapter, you see that. And in Hebrews, as the letter opens, it talks about how angels are ministering spirits. That is, they are spiritual beings that minister to us. So that's a no-brainer. But we don't know how all of that works. We can't get too specific with it. So again, you want to, in terms of protection, a spiritual protection from the enemy. You see Paul talking about the armor of God, the breastplate of righteousness, the sword of the Spirit, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the belt of truth. What is that truth? Well, it's the truth of the gospel, the feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I mean, these are aspects of who Jesus is to us. So ultimately, my friend, I would say we drive a stake in the ground and we say Jesus Christ is my protector. So I hope that encourages you. Reach out to us again anytime. We've got open lines right now, so if you've thought of a question, if you've been thinking about calling in, now's a perfect time, that rare opportunity with three open lines. So go for it, 877-655-6755. We're going to go to Kentucky now, and we'll talk with Louie. Hi, Louie.
Well, hello there, sir.
How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm blessed and highly favored. First-time caller.
Great.
But, daily listener, and I do. I am a minister, and I've known God since a young child, and stepped away for a while. And about 5 years ago, I rededicated myself to Him, and I was reading something, and I've been conflicted with this, and I was just wanting kind of your take on it. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 3,
yes,
starting at about verse 10, when it talks about you know, that if any would not work, neither should they eat. And then it goes on to talk about walking disorderly among you, not working at all, but being busybodies. And it goes on to talk about how we should, I don't know, I don't want to use the wrong word, separate, or basically that we should kind of stay away from them and you know, love them as brothers, but admonish them. And I've always kind of felt bad trying to turn someone away, even though I knew they weren't doing the right thing. So
yeah.
can you kind of explain that? This was really just 2 weeks ago, and it came right after an incident that I had with a brother, and I was conflicted after I read this because I was like, wait a minute, maybe I shouldn't feel bad when I say no.
Okay.
Let them know that I love you, and I'll continue to pray for you, but I won't be a part of that anymore. So can you kind of expound on that for me?
Yes, yes, absolutely. I mean, this is not just an issue that comes up in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We also see this sort of thing in Corinthians, the 5th chapter. It says, I'm writing you that you must not associate with anyone who claims to be a brother or sister but is sexually immoral or greedy, an idolater or slanderer, a drunkard or swindler. Do not even eat with such a person. Now, 2,000 years ago, breaking bread with a person, eating with them, that was one of the main social things that they had. And so to go into their home and eat with them, you were saying, hey, I associate with this person. I condone who they are and what they're about. And it's interesting, this phrase here, so-called brother. Now, we can't know for sure who is in Christ and who is not, but we don't want to associate with people who are running around completely disregarding Christian teaching and yet using the name of Christ. So, you know, just as a crazy example, let's say that I were on this broadcast every night, drunk as a skunk, addicted to alcohol, intoxicated, out of my mind, and then trying to talk about Jesus. Well, I would be disregarding sound teaching and yet using the name of Christ. And so you'd say, well, who would listen to that? Who, you know, that might be entertaining for 3 minutes, but seriously, who would listen to that? Nobody. There would be no respect there. And so Paul is just saying, watch out for those people that you associate with, especially those who use the name of Jesus Christ, and then their lifestyles look nothing like they are in Christ. They use the name of Jesus but don't appear to have a new heart. They use the name of Jesus but don't appear to be born again. There's no evidence of that in what they're doing. And these are some pretty radical things they're doing. I mean, they're swindling people out of money. Paul at one point tells the Corinthian church there's a man who's having inappropriate relations with his father's wife. And Paul's reasoning there for disciplining this man and asking him to leave is, number one, he's doing something. This man is engaged in something that not even the Corinthians would tolerate. I mean, these are Corinthians. Think about spring break plus Mardi Gras plus Las Vegas on steroids and then some. That's what Corinth was like, as you know, most likely, 2,000 years ago, with the bathhouses and the pagan temples and the prostitutes and all of that. And here's this man who's using the name of Jesus and associating with the congregation, and then he's having inappropriate relations with his father's wife. So sometimes you just got to call a spade and say, you know, we're not about this, and we don't want the community at large to think that we are, because we know who we are. We are holy and righteous and blameless, and we're in Christ, and we're God's children. And people are looking at the church as a whole to try to figure out what we stand for. And if the Corinthian church were to just sort of bury this under the carpet and ignore it and act like everything was fine, then what would that say to them about the name of Jesus. And so I think that this passage, 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, is very parallel to those two ideas, the idea of not eating with a swindler and the idea of disciplining someone in the congregation who is doing things that are so outlandish that not even unbelievers tolerate it. And likewise here, he's saying that there's issues in the church. There's apparently idleness. There's people perhaps living off of the congregation and using people. And he says, keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching that you received from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anybody else's food without paying for it. So imagine 2,000 years ago, I mean, there were times of famine, there were times of persecution, and then there are people who are basically using the name of Jesus in order to manipulate and use other people. So it's in one passage, you've got swindlers. Here, you've got those who are using others. And then in the third passage, you've got someone who is engaged in heinous and shockingly evil immorality, even in the eyes of an unbeliever. So there are times, clearly, when the Apostle Paul is saying not to be mean, not to be ugly, but in a loving discipline, saying, hey, if you're not about what we're about, if you're disregarding our teaching, if we cannot come to you in loving reproof and you listen, instead you ignore and rebel and say, forget you, and I don't care what you think, then what business do you have hanging out with us anyway? I mean, if we don't see eye to eye, if we don't share the same message, then what in the world are we doing together? So go out, make a mockery of your life, walking after the flesh, and we'll see you when you get back and come to your senses. And that's essentially what we say, what we see Paul saying to the Corinthians. So I agree with you, brother. As a pastor, man, it takes some discernment. We're asking the Holy Spirit for wisdom. Not, you know, every situation is different. We can't have a cookie cutter treatment of people. But there are times when people have no remorse, no regret, no interest in change, no respect for leadership, no desire for God to transform their thinking. And if that's the attitude they're displaying, then sometimes it's just appropriate, according to Paul, it's just appropriate to say, hey, well then, you really don't need to be hanging out with us. So those are my thoughts on this difficult, this challenging issue, and I really appreciate you bringing that question to us tonight. Please call back anytime. Great to hear from you. All right, let's go out now to North Carolina, and we'll talk with Tina. Hi, Tina.
Hi.
Hey, what do you got for us tonight?
I have my handy Twisted Scriptures book, and I'm not quite finished with it yet, but great read. It's nice to have the information right here at hand. I'll probably be sharing this with a friend after I finish with it. But I called tonight because I have a friend. She's a really good friend, but her pastor and her church, they are totally under the law. And a lot of times when we get together for just girlfriend time, we clash. And because I'm about, you know, the finished work of Christ.
Yes.
And she says that as Christians, we're to be set apart from the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. So as women, they, in her church, they have to have their heads covered because something about, and it's in the New Testament, about women should have their heads covered. Mm-hmm. And you know, they basically, you know, really nothing, no skin or anything. And how can I I don't want to say combat what she says, but, you know, when we get together, I'm like, you know, if I don't have my head covered, does that mean I'm not a believer and I won't see heaven? That right. stuff doesn't really, you know, get yes. to her.
Okay. All right, well, let's talk about that. We got just 3 or 4 minutes here, so I really want to dig in. I mean, as far as being set apart, a quick look at Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 10. It doesn't say that Christians need to be set apart. It says we are set apart. It says by that will or that covenant, we have been made holy. And that's what holy means. Holy means to be set apart, reserved, set apart for a purpose. That's what holy is. And we have been made holy. There are a dozen plus passages, beautiful passages of Scripture that say we are holy and blameless and righteous and set apart and people of God's own possession, a holy nation, a royal priesthood. So you need to know that you are set apart already. A head covering does not make you set apart. Jesus made you set apart. You are set apart because of this new will. That's what Hebrews 10:10 says. You say, well, what is the new will? It's talking about the new covenant, the New Testament, the message of the gospel. That is what sets you apart. So you're set apart because of the blood of Christ. You're set apart because of the resurrection of Christ. That's what sets you apart. And so, you know, you say, well, all right, but what about these head coverings? Well, 1 Corinthians 11 talks about head coverings. And basically, from church history, what we understand this passage to mean is it relates to how these Corinthians, which I described earlier in no uncertain terms as being like Las Vegas plus Mardi Gras plus spring break on steroids, well, that's this Corinthian community. And part of what was happening is that the folks who were becoming believers, many of these women were saying, well, now I'm so free in Christ that I'm just going to dress like someone who's available on the street, someone who's available for sale. And so they would cut their hair like a prostitute. They would shave their head like a prostitute. There were pagan people who were engaged in pagan worship of demons and that sort of thing, as well as temple prostitutes. And so when a believing woman would get her hair cut like that, then it was really taking freedom in Christ to a whole new place that was disrespectful. It was, again, something that was misrepresenting what Christianity is all about. So this is not about a piece of cloth on your head. It's not about a doily. It's not about making sure that, you know, you have a helmet on or something like that when you're praying, because otherwise your prayers will bounce off the ceiling. It's none of that. It's literally about how the women in this Corinthian society were carrying themselves. And so that's why Paul brings this up. He doesn't bring it up elsewhere, because it was a Corinthian issue. It was not an issue for the Galatians. It was not an issue for the Philippians or the Colossians. It was only an issue in the Corinthian church. And so I hope that sheds some light. You know, the truth will always set us free. And we really, most importantly on this issue, we need to know that we are set apart not by what we wear. We're not set apart by wearing long flowing robes. We're not set apart by wearing priestly collars. We're not set apart by cloths on our head as head coverings. We are set apart because Jesus Christ bought us. He bought us with his blood. He put his spirit inside of us. He took out our heart of stone, gave us a new heart. And because of that, we are born of the Spirit. We are born of God. We are new creations at the core. And we now are set apart for a purpose. And that will be true forever.
For more information on Andrew's books, please visit andrewfarley.org. That's andrewfarley.org. Join us every week at this time as we invite you to celebrate the freedom of God's grace. Goodbye, everybody.